My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And Warren Bernard is gracious enough to come hang out in Pittsburgh and bring a bunch of tabloids along the way for us to investigate. Man, Jim and I have big-ass comic collections, but we're embarrassingly devoid of big swaths of comic book and cartooning history.
Hang your heads in shame, okay?
This is where you come in. This is where you come into the mixture. And we just we posted not too long ago an episode showing off the Spirit tabloid sections, which kind of like, you know, after the initial Sunday Funnies, that was like an evolution in bringing comics to the tabloid format. We cannot give short shrift to the underground weeklies of the 60s and 70s that brought about a format and a medium for guys like Robert Crumb, Gilbert Shelton, Spain Rodriguez to see the light of day.
Yeah, and, you know, because the Spirit, as far as I know, was the first real tabloid comic that I'm aware of, okay? Now, you know, there were tabloid sections.
Yeah.
But something dedicated to one and only one story, that Spirit was the first one. So if you think about what it did, it was actually a comic book in tabloid format, which is more what these guys are doing, okay? So what I've brought today, so here on the left, we've got the East Village Other, okay, with the same cover as, this is the last issue of Gothic Blimp Works, and actually the hardest one to find.
Number 8.
It took me n number of years and was large to go ahead and track one down. I had the first 7 issues. This was a tough one. So what I thought we would do is we'd go through a typical issue of the East Village Other, just to see what that paper, and by the way, it had that and the Berkeley Barb, and there were a handful of others, but I think the East Village Other and the Berkeley Barb were the two with the best underground cartoonist representation in them.
Most famous. Now, before we get into it, I just real quick question, and I'm putting you maybe a little bit on the spot, but I know you have these, and you might have committed it to memory. Yarrowstox comes before Zap Comics. He did 3 issues of Yarrowstox.
Right.
This is 1968. Do you remember the date of Yarrowstox?
No, I don't.
Because I'm curious, like, how much after this is, but...
No, I don't remember that. And Yellow Dog Comics, which was also on newsprint, also came out at about this time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out around this time. I was just curious, like, the pre... Because Yarrowstox, then Zap, and I was just curious, like, how...
Well, I think wasn't Zap 1 or Zap 0 in 67, so that was the year before.
Okay.
But the East Village Other had been printing the underground comics for a while at that point. And also, you know, you have to go out to Texas and really talk about what Gilbert Shelton was doing with Wonder Warthog in the drag magazines.
Right.
And his two. And by the way, I think both of his issues of the Wonder Warthog magazine, which I should bring for you, all right, came out before the first Zap.
Sure, yeah, okay. and he was doing work and help and
right. So anyway, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to walk through these two. So why don't we start with the East Village Other, because the Gothic Blimp Works, for those people that don't know, this was strictly a tabloid of comics, and this was an actual underground newspaper.
It's so funny, like. That sucks to me. It's like it came with the hand lettering, the very sort of iconic to me, Robert Crumb, you know, serifed font. Why would you ever make that decision? No wonder they only lasted 8 issues.
Right, all right. Well, for me, what I love about this is I love the shape of the vacuum cleaner. Okay, for whatever the reason is, that just cracks me up.
Oh, like his lighting and the hatching. I, you know, I've never talked to the man, but I imagine like the sort of compromised nature of his vision, you know? You see him in his glasses, his eyeballs are all magnified and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he has some knack of, like, softening his focus and putting those lines down to, like, achieve what is just, like, a flat gray to him and just, like, these little chicken scratch marks, man. It's
right.
They all have meaning.
Ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this is the typical underground newspaper of the 1960s. Oh, look. Timothy Leary. Who else would you expect? And over here, I'm pretty sure this is a Leslie Cabarga Betty Boop. So,
I've never heard that name.
Leslie Kabarga, he did animation. He did this great book about Betty Boop in the 1970s, and did a lot of commercial work about it that time. So I've got some of his stuff, and it does look like his work. He was fabulous. All right, ready?
Yep.
All right, Laughing Timothy Leary. Come on, there we go. Oh my God! Look at this. A.J. Weberman, for those of you who don't know, okay, he was the first self-proclaimed Dylanologist, all right? So he was the first one to go through Bob Dylan's garbage to see what, because Dylan was living in Greenwich Village at the time.
Our comic book audience, strictly fluent in comics.
Right, so I realize that.
Let me break it down to them. So this guy is like Ken Peril to Dan Klaus.
So anyway, because I was a Bob Dylan fan, so that's actually interesting. And here we go, Kim Deitch.
Amazing,
beautiful page.
Story is at this time of Kim Deitch and Spain Rodriguez like sharing a flat, you know, some four floor walk up, and they come home one day. Jay Lynch comes to visit, goes up to their apartment, and there's a big chunk taken out of the door where the lock was, and he just looks through that hole, and Spain Rodriguez is sitting at a table like holding like a 32 snub nose, like just like just waiting for crackheads to come in. New York was that's pre Ed Koch.
It's a whole different thing. So I think one of these, yeah, actually the Gothic Blimpworks has a great jam page in it with, but this is, anyway, and he's still doing great work.
Yeah, and just growing as an artist.
Unbelievable that here it is, you know, 50 years later, and he's still cranking out fabulous work. Nice, Kim Deitch. I don't know who that is. Oh, Bill Graham. Yep. That's the New York I remember from the 1960s and 70s.
Those cars, man. Yeah.
I love all of this, like, almost throwaway lettering, hand lettering. There was some on the previous page.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I thought. Spiegelman.
It's Spiegelman, yeah.
Yeah, wow. like I was going to say, Spiegelman did some stuff, like, in Wit's End that had this kind of artwork, very rough.
Yeah, it's Spiegelman, right. So, and Spiegelman doing pornography down here, I guess.
I wonder if Spiegelman was working for Topps then.
Ooh, you know, that I don't know. I don't know what the... Here you go. Here's your man, Spain Rodriguez.
Trash man.
Agent of the Sixth Internationale.
What's great is this is a serialized strip, but 1 week does not flow into the next
right,
week.
Yeah,
very, very easy.
Yeah, it's kind of like, wait a minute. What just happened?
The
I love this.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. The other noteworthy thing is that there's a price tag on these weeklies, and I guess just from what I know of, you know, the free weekly alternative press, like I thought that this was just an early version of that, but you had to buy this.
Yes, you had to buy this, right?
And I say that just because it's like, you know, peace, pussy, pot, prosperity, like you know, this kind of rhetoric. If that shit was like free and easy for little kids to just scoop up on a corner box, I could see I'd be in trouble.
For the 60s. All right, anyway, love that panel right there. Here's some more nice...
Yeah, more of the hand lettering.
Very timely stuff from a person named R.L. Jones.
Yeah, I don't know who that
Lost
is.
Lost to the Ages.
But it's also, it's R. Buckminster Fuller, the man who gave us the geodesic dome. So the very odd stuff would turn up in here. And look, Jane Fonda and Barbarella.
Godard.
Is that the Monkees movie Head?
You know, it very well might be.
About that time frame.
The fuck, man? Virgil Finley popping up in this?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a ripoff thereof.
A lot of stippling on that page.
Yeah.
What drug do you take that like makes you settle down and be able to do that?
Look at this. Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Joni Mitchell at Hunter College.
I was going to say, is this some 42nd Street stuff? But it's 46th.
Let's see. think that that's it for the comics.
That's so, fine, man. We can still
roll. Oh, here we go.
This.
Trina Robbins. And there's more Art Spiegelman right there. So
Shoujo manga would have
you know
have
what that's what this reminded me of so much. I was going to be like the first manga influence here. Boy, the reproduction's nice too. I always think of newsprint as being, you know, lousy, but it's really sharp lines, really nice.
No, now it's lousy. Okay. Back then, they knew what they were doing. So anyway, so it's real cool to see the Trina Robbins and the Art Spiegelmans of the world popping up just in an issue of this stuff. And then, you know, you get back here, free sex books, male nudes, you know.
Now that's a 42nd Street shit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Wheeling and dealing.
Making sure that the damn paper only costs 15 cents and not 35 cents or whatever.
All right, so now let's take a look. So the Underground Cartoonists in 1968 got together and they did the Gothic Blimp Works.
Do you know who put this out? Don Donahue or somebody?
No, it was the same. It was Vaughn Baudet and
Ron Turner.
Yeah, so
they put their money into this.
Yeah, right. They put their money into this. Yeah.
Wow.
So you know, look at all this great Crumb stuff that was in here.
This is another one of those examples, like the Spirit tabloids. You lose so much when you break it down. It is such a different experience to see it at this size.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't have a top drawer Underground collection. But I've got enough that it's, you know, I've got a bunch of good stuff, and having the Gothic Blimp Works to me is critical because of exactly what you're saying. When you see this stuff.
Do you have all
this
8 issues?
Yeah, I have all 8 issues.
Okay, next time, man, we're going to go through issues 1 through 7.
Yeah, I've got all 8 issues. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not a problem.
Look at how bizarre this shit is, man. Just falling swastikas, and then they find out that it's dudes. It's so weird, man.
Yeah, so think about it. All the times you would see this reprinted, it was on a page like this.
Yep.
Okay. And the whole, as it was with the Spirit tabloids, the experience is totally different. There we go. Look at this lettering. I'm sorry. I'm loving this stuff. Okay?
His lettering is untouchable.
Just fabulous. And then Vaughn Baudet, who, by the way, some people may chastise me for this, but I loved Cheech Wizard.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a nice Vaughn Baudet stuff. I loved his stuff.
He would try to pull in these other textures, and like it was always dubious whether it would reprint well or not.
Yeah, I was just looking at this and wondering about it, if it's like a grease pencil or some kind of a charcoal pencil or something that he's drawing with.
I think a bit like just a HB can... Because, I mean, it's only black line you're going to get, so it's going to show up dark as fuck.
Right.
But he's the guy who would, like, you know, he would use whatever kind of markers he could get, his hands, you know, those carcinogenic markers that haven't been available since the 70s and shit.
And oh, by the way, I think we should point out that without Vaughn Baudet, you would not get a lot of the graffiti art.
That's for
That came out of the New York, particularly in the late 70s, that you even see even into today. So a lot of the color renditions and a lot of the shapes and things like that, Baudet was the one who put a lot of that on the map with the stuff he did in Cavalier and in National Lampoon.
Yep. Evolution of the Bubble Letter and stuff.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, he was great. And here we go.
It's several pages of Baudet.
Yeah, 3 pages of Baudet.
Maybe the more money you put into the...
3 1/3. How strange is it that it... Yeah. it's so odd.
Yeah.
And then there you go.
A little Spain.
More Spain Rodriguez. And I chose this one not only because of the cover repetition, but here's more Spain Rodriguez.
I bet that's how it worked, man. The more money you put into the pot to print it, the more pages you get.
This is just, I mean, just this whole thing. This is just great.
And it's built for this size. Like, you know, the Fantagraphics. Fantagraphics, it does the Lord's work by just keeping the shit in print.
Right.
But when you reduce this, what are you looking at?
Right, sure, exactly. Exactly. Or how about the sequence of this guy's eyes looking back and forth, okay? You shrink that down to half of this, and you're not going to be able to tell what's really going on in there. So you really have to see these at size. Great pages. I'm a big Spain rat. And I'm glad you did the Trash Man.
And he believes in the circle panel as well.
Yeah, I was going to point that one out.
I love this stomp through just his onomatopoeia. Great stuff.
Oh, he put big ducats into this issue.
Yeah.
And just getting as much in as he can.
Yeah, this is...
There it is, the iconic joint.
Yep.
Oh, this is a great issue.
Come on and get it, motherfucker. Okay. Yeah, just this, okay?
And I wonder, is this head shop stuff? Or could you talk a newsstand guy into doing it? Like, was there some form of distribution?
The underground comics themselves, the only place I ever found them was at the head shops.
Yeah.
Okay. There were no real comic shops. The bookstores didn't carry that. At least the ones that I went to didn't carry that.
Victor Moscoso said that the distribution mechanism was created, to get it into the head shops. The comic people glommed onto the psychedelic poster
distributors. Yes, right.
So those were, the distributors for that stuff. And, those posters, they were a very timely thing.
Yeah, well, you used to, at least at the one head shop I went to, they had a big black light room.
And, right.
So
this is some really great lettering. We pointed out Crumb's lettering and Von Baudet. All these, that was part of the tool set.
Full cartoonist.
For all these.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Gotta be a cartoonist, man.
Yeah, it's incredible to me how much lettering has fallen off in the tradition of American comic books.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It shocks me.
Yeah.
It's a blessing and curse of the credits box, because just having the name in the credits box is important, because now you want to stand up or you could become a fan of Jack Kirby, but then when you see that lettering is a job unto itself. Well, I'm going to focus on these other pieces, man. Yeah. I could just get
just Artie the lettering Simon. Right there, okay?
And it's unique. It's his, right. It's the Spain Rodriguez font. Right. If you've seen that exact lettering anywhere else, you'd be like, oh, they were cribbed in Spain.
Yeah, sure.
And same with Von Baudet, same with Crumb. When Bill Griffith is teaching it, I think SVA, one of his 40 tenets is, don't look at how to draw comics the Marvel way for your lettering. Come up with your own lettering style.
On that, there's a story that's told out at the Library of Congress that a bunch of high school kids came in, and there was a Walt Kelly piece out. And one of the high school kids asked Sarah Duke, one of the curators there, what font did he use?
Yeah.
Okay.
My editors at Marvel asked me that.
Here's your double page spread.
Man, this is the Spain Rodriguez show.
Isn't this great?
I don't know. I've never seen this spread.
No.
These haven't been reprinted.
Wow.
These Gothic blimp works.
That's the thing. And the title Complete Crumb Comics, that's a dubious title too, man, because there's a lot of Crumb strips that are not in the Complete Crumb Comics. And they come from Yarrow Stocks. And
yeah, sure.
Might even see one in here.
Right. There's more Crumb coming up. But... Yeah. Look at the grandeur of this, okay?
It's unbelievable.
And if you fast forward, this is 68, if you fast forward to 2000, you have to go to the paper rodeo people before you see people doing double-paid spreads like this again, okay? And we can do that at another time, which is what happened from paper rodeo forward. I've got a lot of that stuff collected in terms of tabloids that we can look at one day. So, but, this is great. I love this. Spain Rodriguez. Look at those. Look at this. Just all the shadows he put in.
Oh yeah, I mean he's going microscopic, and just thinking everything through. None of it's dashed off.
Look at this slobber drool.
He likes to make the bourgeois man look like real fucking scum.
All right, so so this is still Spain, and here we've got. But the good Dr. Werthen... Oh, this is all about the comics code. Oh, look at this.
Cutting promos on the comics code. With a symbol right behind him.
Right. So this is great. But the good Dr. Werthen put a stop to it. And ever since, we've kept things in line, obscuring an over-succulent titty erasing over moldy corpses.
Oh, so
that noise, what is it? You thought you had rid... You thought you had rid yourself of us, Lester, but now we're coming for you. Gulp. And here are all the comic people coming to destroy this guy.
I bet you these kind of comics, man, were like pinned right up in that Marvel bullpen.
This is your team up bed of roommates, Kim Deitch in Spain.
Duh. Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's the other thing. These guys would do a lot of jam strips.
Well, this is the start of a big jam strip, and wait till you see. So this is all Spain and Deitch. Spain and Deitch, and then I think this is just Deitch here. This is great. Nihilistic Research Lab.
Little Waldo has evolved into having cock and balls lately. Deitch is so amazing, man.
This is great stuff. This is...
It's just like he so clearly internalized the stuff he grew up around, you know?
With his brother.
Simon is dope.
Yeah.
He does really cool pencil art.
And then here...
Oh, yeah.
So, and look who's here.
Yeah, Kurtzman.
Kurtzman. So this is the jam one where Kurtzman sat in.
He sat in on a couple, yeah. And you can see...
right here.
Yeah, that all looks like...
Yeah.
And you can find video of these guys working. It's not this one. Right. It's called something like End of the World Funnies or something, where they're each working on a perfect like square. And this was reprinted in Comic Confidential, I think, a piece of that. Just watching all the guys work on their strips. And you could tell, they would be independent pieces of paper. And you could even see, like, the line where they're pasted up.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about, like, you know, here's your contribution, go off, work on it. But then these pieces, obviously, you got to be in the same room.
Gotta be the same. Well, or at least close enough that they're passing it back and forth. So this is another great double-page spread.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the jam stuff. Like, it goes nowhere, and it's, like, you know, it's, frankly, unreadable, but just, like, seeing them all on the same page is, like, such a visual overload that speaks directly to my brain, man.
Well, and also, you know, Spain Rodriguez and Kurtzman in the same room, you know.
Kurtzman had great respect for these guys. Right. He gave a lot of these guys their first jobs in print, you know, kept in touch. They're all motivated by the Mad Comics, like, at least the paperbacks.
Sure, right.
So it's paying it forward, it's paying it backward. There's a lot of senpai kohai going on there, man.
Yeah, so I was so happy to finally track this down, and this was one of the reasons.
Amazing.
Because of this jam page.
Amazing.
Which you normally don't get a chance to see. So, and then you have more Crumb.
It feels like such a massive amount of work, like what we're seeing just on these two pages here.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, two pages of thousands. It's...
Yes. Crumb wouldn't draw too much bigger. These might have even been drawn to size from the stuff that we saw at the biennial, like the cover, you know? Like, it's almost exactly to size as the print.
Well, and once again, reading them at this size, even, you know, when they were reprinted in the Fantagraphics books, they were a decent size, but they're still about half or a third of what these pages are.
And stuff like this fully gets lost. Like,
sure.
Like it's almost impossible to read this stuff. You just look at the Mania and, like, tip your hat, show respect, man, but you could at least read it and absorb this stuff level.
I always love Mr. Natural. Mr. Natural, what does it all mean? Don't mean shit. Okay. So, here is ending with two pages of R. Crumb.
And once again, man, I see the cuts where this is two pages.
Yeah, sure.
Two pieces of art butted up once against one another.
That's pretty wild looking. This is very not Crumb-like.
And it's not Crumb.
Yeah, I don't think
it looks... Like, by the lettering. Like, that's Jay Lynch lettering right there.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that looks like Kurtzman to me.
It does.
Yeah.
It even has Aragonés vibe to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably Kurtzman.
Yeah. So, but think about that. Kurtzman and Crumb collaborating?
And this is Art Spiegelman. I would bet you any money that these little bugs are Spiegelman.
Well, no, actually, I'll bet you that's Gilbert Chilton.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. So you would have won him some money. You should have bet me.
That's Gilbert Chilton because he used these roaches... In Fat Freddy's Cat.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's definitely his
yeah, it's lettering. It's his lettering. And by the way, it brings up a good point. All these underground cartoonists, whether it was Trina, whether it was Shelton, whether it was Rodriguez, whether it was Crumb, they all had their own fonts. They had their own handwriting that they used, and it made the whole thing much more personal.
They're all singular cartoonists.
Yeah.
What else you got, man?
Well, let's see. So what do you got on the back? Oh. Now, of course,
bad time to subscribe.
Yeah, right, exactly, because this was the last issue. In fact, it says right here, I don't know if you noticed it, so it says right here, note the next issue of Blimp will feature a new design and format, and as far as I know, it never came out.
You know what, but this is the cover to a comic, so maybe it evolved into whatever the comic was, this is the cover.
I'd have to go find out, because I have the East Village Other that this is the cover from.
Yeah, but so it was a comic as well, because I remember it in color.
Yeah, so... Know? All right, so
High
there it is.
Comics or something.
Gothic Blimp Works.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so now, put that over there. This is, so what they also did with the East Village Other is they came out with just, let me just center this a little bit better. There we go. Come on.
We make it look easy, right?
There we go. You guys are pros. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, here we go. So, for at least three years, 68, 69, and 70, they may have gone before or after, but the three that I've got are these comics issues the East Village Other put together. So, and look at this. They even put, you know, Crumb's handwriting on the front.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And so let's see what they have.
Aha, reprinting the same strip.
Reprinting the same strip.
Sell an old rope.
This is a great one, though.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe I should scan this and send it out and.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, who is this
Spiegelman?
Guy? He's got shitting.
This title lettering is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's Spiegelman. I mean, if I had gone like that, I don't know who I would have guessed.
Yeah, you would have. It would have been like Drew Friedman, but it's like 12 years, 15 years too early.
Right.
Yeah, that's some wild cartooning.
Some
also using the greatest screen tone.
Yeah, your concentric circle gimmicks. Somebody sent me an image of Brendan McCarthy in a Judge Dredd comic using my wood grain in the background as like a warped sky thing.
All right, ready? Funny Nazis.
I think this is like Ralph Reese or somebody.
Could be.
It's like Ralph Reese lettering. And he was kicking around with these guys. Or that could be Jay Kinney. Like, I always confuse his work.
Yossarian.
What the fuck is that?
He did stuff for the East Village Other that I'm aware of. So,
it's nice work.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And sometimes you run across these cartoonists that they work for a very short period of time, yeah, and all of a sudden they're gone for whatever the reason may be. Gee, Fascist Follies. Where have we seen this before?
Yeah, right.
The most depressing thing to looking through any of these old papers or magazines is how it's the same topics. Like it's
look
it kills me.
I was a fan of the science fiction undergrounds, and they had a very heavy thing about post-nuclear apocalypse and especially environmental devastation. And you come forward a half a century and it's like, oh. Here we go.
Kim?
Yeah. And
Yossarian.
And Yossarian and Spain.
That's Yossarian lettering in that title gimmick.
Yeah. That's great.
There's Kim.
Spain.
For sure.
God, it's raining again, huh?
Yeah, okay, it sounds like it. Go. S. Clay Wilson in effect, man.
S. Clay Wilson, Spain, and Yossarian. So these are all jam pages.
This is so, because it's so tawdry and like perfect, like on 42nd Street, you know.
Well, but the purpose of this was, if you think about what they were doing at the time, they were like, okay, you think sex is bad? We're gonna show you how perverted it can be, all right? And they had no qualms whatsoever about doing anything they can to tweak the powers that be. Go ahead, we dare you to censor us. We dare you to confiscate that. And that's what's generating a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Look, smegma, man.
Smegma.
That's not a new term.
Straight out of Mad Comics. Here we go.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a surprise. This is FM, and I don't know who that is. But this is very paper rodeo.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got to go...
overprinting?
So you've got to go forward, what, 30 years to get something of this aesthetic again.
It's so wild.
Isn't that great?
It's uncanny how much it resembles that.
Yep. I didn't think of it. I have two copies. I had donated my set of paper rodeos out of 15 of the 19 issues to the Library of Congress, and I found two of the issues that I didn't have before, and I didn't think to bring it with me. Sorry.
Maybe next I have time. Some paper rodeos. Those are something we can dig out at some point.
Here we go.
I even enjoy the typography, like all the title typography on all these different articles. It's fun to see that attention to detail. That's...
Let's see if I can do this correctly.
Is fucking Bob Sikoriak around in 1970?
No, it's someone, S.C.H. Murphy? I don't know who that is.
No.
But, yes, it is Sikoriak, but it's Richard Nixon as Charlie Brown. Yeah. Okay.
Tricky Dick. Plain nuts. Good lettering. You like see this shit sometimes falls apart at the lettering portion.
Yeah, right.
Good for Mr. Murphy.
Let's see if I can put this back correctly.
Boom.
There. Okay.
This is again very timely. Prepare for world flip out.
Yeah, right.
We needed this like 4 months ago, Warren.
This looks like Bill Griffith, isn't it? Yeah, it's Bill Griffith.
Playing with a brush. We don't often see him, like, do bold brush lines. Usually a pen guy.
And he's another one. I've been a online subscriber to Zippy the Pinhead for years. He's still doing absolutely fucking brilliant work.
He's doing the strip daily and doing a graphic novel a year.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Doing more work than he's than he's done in his entire professional life.
And his graphic novels are fantastic.
Incredible.
And the Zippies are fantastic. If you want really good commentary, social commentary, check out his Zippies, okay? And then who is this?
S. Clay Wilson.
Okay.
With a pen.
Yeah.
Just using like a rapidograph.
Which you don't normally see him do.
No. It has a Gahan Wilson vibe to
right,
it.
Right, yes. Very much so. Here's Trina. Oh, speaking of Abbie Hoffman.
Yeah. Still this book, of course. And look, the Spain eyes from that one
comic. The Spain eyes, right, yeah.
Being recycled.
Yeah, it's nice seeing Trina in this.
It does feel so much like some of that manga. So, you know, like the design of the page being so different than a lot of the strips that we've seen.
Yeah.
And then we... Oh,
that's definitely Gilbert.
Yeah, that's Gilbert Shelton right there.
I got that in Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers number 1 or 2. Reprinted bigger, actually, so you get to see it better in the comic, believe it or not.
I had the opportunity to interview him at the Lakes International Comic Arts Festival a couple of years ago. I got a Wonder Warthog book, and he put this beautiful Wonder Warthog in it. And the way he drew it was... He would put a couple of things over here, and then a couple of things over... I mean, it wasn't like this straight ahead... It wasn't straight ahead in any way, shape, or form. He would kind of dance all over it, okay? And it was really interesting watching work because I can't even draw a stick figure, so...
That's how I hear Neil Adam Strauss. Look at this, man. Rolling papers above, like, a thing for abortions.
Abortion questions, yeah, because it was illegal back then.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Roe versus Wade comes later?
73. This
wow.
is 68. 70. So,
wow, fuck, man.
Yeah, so it was... All right, so that's that. So now, the underground people got together in 1975 and for 3 issues put this out, which is somewhere in between sort of a zine and a tabloid comic. All right, and
60 cents for this one.
60 cents for this one, right, yes, went up quite a bit. And this is March 75, like I said, there were only 3 issues of this. And I'm missing 2 of the 3 issues. I'm just a bad collector. But I figured I would grab this and just show you what happened, because this was kind of the swan song of the underground cartoonist in tabloid form.
Right.
Right, and here's Von Baudet on the front. Loved his color work. I just loved his work.
Yeah.
A palette totally unique.
It's rare to see him colored with traditional four-color process.
Right, yes.
You know, like in Heavy Metal and National Lampoon, he's playing with those markers that we were talking about.
Right. No, this is... I like the crow with all the four. Here we go.
We're getting into some of the Air Pirates.
Yeah, so Crumb.
Bobo Bolinski.
In color?
This was always like just the weirdest, because there were about four or five Bobo Bolinski strips. One of them is Bobo Bolinski sitting there in like a recliner, and it's just nine different views of him. And like I think at this period, Crumb talked about like just being like fully burnt out. You know, doing comics for 5 years hardcore, and it's just like, I'll give you something.
So, Ted Richards.
Yeah, he's one of the Air Pirates.
Yep.
Did a really good Seagar impersonation with Dope and Dan.
Yep. And then beautiful Trina. Oh, they even have a real Smokey Stover page in here.
That could be a vestige of Kurtzman's influence, because I have some Smokey Stover reprints from like Blackthorn with a lot of Kurtzman commentary on them. Mm. So they might have been fucking with Smokey Stover on his advice.
And here's sort of an ad for Dr. Atomic. Oh, I forgot who did this.
Me too.
Larry Todd. That's right.
It would appear a lot in... slow death comics.
Yes,
and,
right.
And like the environmentalist kind of...
Right. So here's an ad for Last Gasp. Really nice Trina doing a very traditional...
Like Sunday page
Yeah,
kind
Sunday
of
page type thing. Yeah, yeah.
Great color on that. And you could tell that they
Jay Kinney.
They chose the color because like the color from one strip to the next is different.
Right, right. And you can see there's, you know, all kinds of... It was this odd thing in between sort of what we would call a zine and an underground newspaper and a gothic blimp works, so... All these nice spot illos in here.
Yeah, all the little bits are beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, I can't identify this stuff. That's it. Is that Aileen?
No. That's oh, I should know who that is, but my brain is fried, so here we go. Comic review, Ron Barlow.
A review of Steve Ditko's Mr. A in Avenging World.
That's awesome.
That's pretty wild. And the little Ditko appearance.
So they, you know, they were cool. All right, the crayon box. There you go, Ed. Break out your crayons.
Yeah, right. George Evans did this piece.
Wow. Yeah, so it was odd on in many respects, but it's worth looking at. And this is Lou Myers, who did his stuff. He had a lot of commercial stuff. He was a single panel cartoonist also.
Fiat. Pippin the Fiats.
Groucho. I wonder who did that.
Ron Barrett is the name.
Yeah, I don't know. That's actually nice.
And look, you think you could do better? Write the punchline, motherfucker.
Oh, Bruce Jones. He was good.
Yeah, it's a surprise. I know him to be a writer.
Oh, a Little Nemo page.
Something tells me that's a little Spiegelman influence there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That would be great to see that Little Nemo at this time period, because when else are you seeing it? That size and in color,
right,
pretty
right.
Nice reproduction.
And at this time, sure.
And it's so trippy and fits right in with the other strips in that.
Very happy to take a look at a little smattering of underground comics newspapers. And I'd like to get into this more next time we kick it. Maybe we take a look at a few others.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, if you want to do all seven of the Gothic Blimp works, we can certainly do that. So anytime, and like I said, I just want to bring a little flavor.
Yes.
Okay, so that people, you know, if you think about this history of the tabloids, we're going to do one more.
Yeah, let's take a look at, let's cut this video, mm-hmm. and let's look at a more, you know, one final part to our tabloid section for this week.
For this week, right, because this is still the 20th century. Paper rodeo starts off the 21st century, and an explosion occurs.
Yes. Cool. So, kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell icon. We'll notify you when the next videos are available.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe newsletter at the links below this video. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe merchandise and t-shirts at the links below this video.
Jimmy, we need to go find a web press printer, man, that could hook us up with some good discounts on newsprint tabloid comics, dude. Give them their marching orders.
Read more comics.